Sunday means football. This is Sports Fan Football Sunday. We preview this week's matchups, recap and highlights from all the big college games, plus helping you set your fantasy lineup. It's Football Sunday on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
And this week we get to recap some games that happened on Thursday that weren't just a dud Thursday night football game. We enjoyed some turkey. Well, one of us did anyway. Along with some football and a Bears victory, along with a couple other decent games on a Thursday slate. So we want to talk about that with you before we jump into Fantasy Hour here. It is Football Sunday on Sports Fan Radio 1330, Sports Fan Rockford, the app, and sportsfanrockford.com, where you can stream us and catch all of our full show podcasts uploaded sometime before, I don't know, Sunday usually. Jordan, how's your holiday weekend?
It's going good so far. I mean, of course, it always helps with the Bears victory. By the way, do you think they serve turkey in Club Dub?
I think so.
Maybe just for Thursday?
They've got a WWE championship belt.
Yeah, you saw that?
I did, yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah. Braun Strowman is actually a Green Bay Packers fan.
Is he really?
Yeah, so he had to go to a game to stand there and watch a Detroit Lions team take on the Chicago Bears and then award the biggest, well, one of the biggest rivals, I guess you could say, to the Green Bay Packers with the WWE championship. So I'm sure that they had some turkey there, right?
Yeah, I'm sure they got to sell it. I'm sure they got a lot of great food. Club Dub was, it's really come back to life these last couple of weeks. A little bit of a winning streak here for the Bears, and we'll see what happens next Thursday when they play the Cowboys. If you would have told me way back in the beginning of the season that the Cowboys and the Bears would both have the same record at this point in the season, I would have thought you were crazy.
Really?
All the talent the Cowboys have, and they're kind of, both teams are kind of going the opposite directions,
well,
it feels
we
like.
We would have thought that the Cowboys and Bears were both really good then if you would have said that they had the same record, right?
I thought based off of what we saw last year, I thought the Bears would be in a better position than where the Cowboys would this year. And things kind of went the opposite direction in the beginning, but now they're kind of coming back to even out. The Cowboys were red hot in the beginning. They've really cooled off the last couple of weeks. The Bears were terrible in the beginning. I mean, they're still not great. They're still pretty bad, but they're starting to trend upwards. I mean, you beat 2 3-win teams, the Giants and now the Lions.
Hey, you play who's on the schedule right now.
True.
And Mitch Trubisky had another 3-touchdown performance and looked a little bit better. At least he wasn't back there running out of the pocket immediately at the first sign of someone's hand coming across his face.
He put up good numbers. I mean, there's a couple of questionable decisions. I believe there was a one late in the second half where it was third and four. And I believe they're at Detroit's 35-ish yard line, somewhere around that range. And Trubisky had the first down in his sights. He was rolling out of the pocket, and he was scrambling. He had the first down marker, and if he would have actually gone forward and slid, he would have got it.
Yeah.
Instead, he decided to go east-west. What's the first, as a running back, as a runner, what's the first rule you learn about playing football as a runner? You run north-south. You don't run east-west. And Trubisky ran east-west and got tackled, lost a yard, instead of getting the first down and continuing the drive.
They did have Barry Sanders in the booth, though, and that was a guy who made a living going both east and west and then north-south. So I guess he was just trying to do his best Barry Sanders impression on that play, but it didn't end up working out. But overall, the Bears ended up pulling that game out. It didn't look good for a little while. The Detroit quarterback, man, never took a snap in the NFL.
David Blau, the rookie quarterback out of Purdue. He's played a lot of years at Purdue. I think he was a fifth-year senior there. So I got to see him a lot playing in the Big Ten for a while, and he was undrafted, signed with the Browns, got traded to the Lions about a week or two before the season.
I thought he looked good.
For his first career game, his first career passing completion was a 75-yard touchdown bomb to Kenny Galladay, who, by the way, former NIU Husky.
He should have retired. Galladay. I'm talking about David Blau.
David Blau, I mean, he looked good. I mean, the interception he threw was at the end of the game.
Right.
So outside of that, he almost had a turnover-free game. Like, he played pretty well against his Bears defense.
Who's top 10, run, pass, and overall, yeah.
I mean, he picked him apart in the beginning. He had a great first quarter. Things kind of evened out, slowed down as the game kind of went on. Maybe the Bears kind of figured him out defensively, but I was still impressed. Honestly, I was. He was accurate, and he was making plays. He was continuing drives, which was something that this Bears team has struggled with all season long. Sure, they're 50% on third down, which isn't terrible. It's an improvement compared to where this offense has been. But overall, I thought it was a good football game on both sides. It was a good football game, went down to the wire, 24-20 final score. It seems like when the Lions and Bears always square up, it's always an interesting matchup.
You told me prior to the show that you would have canceled Thanksgiving had the Bears lost that game. Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, the whole household was Bears fans, except for one.
Right.
But so it did not look good. I'm telling you, the first quarter was ugly.
Yeah, it all looked bad, but it ended up turning around and working well in your favor. And the Dallas Cowboys coming into town next week, we can preview that here, I guess, since we're not going to have a show until next Sunday, breaking down that game. When it comes to the Dallas Cowboys, what do you got to do to beat that team if you're the Chicago Bears?
I think you got to look at the tape, what the Patriots and what the Bills have done the last 2 weeks. I mean, you got to make Dak beat through the air, and the problem is, Dak's prone to turnovers. Not as much as Trubisky, but he's still prone to it, and we've seen that in the last couple of years with Dak Prescott. Sure, he's having a hell of a year. I get it. But the last 2 weeks, he's come back down to earth. He's kind of like the old Dak, who turns the ball over a lot, had a couple fumbles, a through interception, a lot of bad decision making. You got to put pressure on Dak Prescott, make him beat you through the air.
Jerry Jones saying that he's not going to fire Jason Garrett. It's been about 5 years. Yeah. I don't know what else you need to see out of it. I'm not trying to say that Jason Garrett should be out of the league completely. I mean, I'm sure that he could help out somewhere. But I mean, in terms of game calling and the questionable decisions that you bring up that Dak is making, I mean, there's been questionable decisions for a long time and continues to be from the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, again, if you look at it from Jason Garrett's side, I'm sure there's not a lot of there's no one really kind of patting you on the back, you know, giving you motivation, because Jerry Jones has been very outspoken the last couple of weeks. But I think it's 2 years past. I think Jason Garrett will be on his way out of Dallas after the season, not before the season's over, but after the season. I believe he will be on the way out. But Kellen Moore, though, that's a guy to keep an eye on. I mean, he's kind of a guy who's led this offense number one in the league right now, this Dallas Cowboy offense is, with his first year being the play caller, being the offensive coordinator with this team. Former Boise State quarterback standout back in the day. I mean, that's a guy just to keep an eye on forward if there's for head coaching vacancies coming up this offseason.
Dallas takes on the Chicago Bears on Thursday. We'll have that game for you on Sports Fan Radio 1330. Some other great games happening on Thanksgiving. Not quite as good as the Chicago Bears. Your phone okay over there?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
We're good.
All right. Oh, you got like a gigantic like metal steel kind of device that's sitting around that thing. I don't think your phone's ever going to have any kind of damage.
It's an OtterBox.
Oh, that's all
indestructible.
That is? Well, it looks indestructible from here. It's like an inch that you have to of give over there on the sides. So a couple other good games on Thursday, too. What else caught your attention?
I mean, honestly, this Bills. The Bills are probably the most underrated team in the NFL right now. They're 9-3, and no one's talking about them. They're going to go to the playoffs. Josh Allen is the real deal in Buffalo. I mean, that offense is rolling. They finally got the running back healthy, Devin Singletary. The defense is the most underrated defense and has been the most underrated defense in the NFL for the past three seasons, and they're finally starting to get some recognition towards it. I mean, that's one talented defensive group, and Sean McDermott is a very underrated coach. I know I've said the word underrated a lot because they're an underrated team, and no one's talking about them, and they just steamrolled the Cowboys in their home turf on their own day, Thanksgiving.
I feel like now that they've beaten the Cowboys and it was in front of a national audience where everybody's going to be watching football and just about eating turkey at that time, I imagine that people are now understanding that the Bills are actually a pretty good team. So going forward, they might not have to deal with that anymore. It is nice to see because Buffalo's been so bad for so long, and it's cool to see them finally come up. And Josh Allen, not flashy, but he gets the job done. And then also at night, you had the New Orleans Saints getting their comeuppance against the Atlanta Falcons. Taysom Hill having a big day, former Packers practice squad training camp cut. And so he was the first person to ever have a receiving touchdown, a rushing touchdown, and he blocked a kick. Is that what happened?
A blocked punt. I mean, the guy is he's a playmaker. Former quarterback at BYU, if you believe it or not. He plays tight end, he plays running back, he plays receiver, he plays quarterback, he plays special teams. Is there another player in the league that does that?
Well, the problem with him, no, there isn't, first of all. And second, the problem with him coming up is that he had a great arm, and everything looked good. He was fast. He was exciting. The fan base really liked him up in Green Bay. He had an injury history.
A long knee injury-ish.
He could not be trusted to be the backup quarterback up in Green Bay. So they said, man, I hope that you find joy elsewhere. And it turns out that he has.
He found a nice home in New Orleans. And you're right, the fan base loves him down there too. He's just a fan favorite. There's always athletes like that at every sport with every team. Taysom Hill is that kind of guy.
On the subject of the Packers, you had a stat that you wanted to bring up?
Yeah, a stat that you're not going to like. So I'm just going to prepare you here.
Sure.
So over through 12 weeks so far, the Packers had a tough matchup on Sunday night against the 49ers. Packers cornerback Kevin King, who you were high on going into the year.
Yeah, the first couple of games he looked really good, and then he's regressed significantly, and I think he's had more big plays that he's given up out of anyone.
He has allowed the most yards, 755, in coverage among all cornerbacks, according to Pro Football Focus.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good
bottom
for Kevin
of the
King.
Bottom. And now overall as a defense, though, in the last 8 weeks, the Packers had a great start defensively to the season, but they've really digressed bad over the last couple of weeks. And speaking of that, in the last 8 weeks, yards per play, Packers are ranked 32nd in the league. Net slash pass yards, 31st. Explosive completions, tied for 26th.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of improvement there. Points per game, 24th. Eh. Three and outs forced, 32nd. Overall, this defense is a bottom four defense in the last 8 weeks.
Yep, it hasn't been good at all. And those numbers don't surprise me whatsoever. They've also played some very good teams. In fact, they are the team right now that holds the most wins against teams above with winning records currently on their schedule. And so it kind of lightens up a little bit. They've got the Giants coming into town a little bit later on today. And they're looking to make up some ground. A couple of lesser opponents, I guess you could say. Less talented opponents. Opponents that have had less success so far in 2019. And I feel like the Packers should be able to feast on these guys. They've been waiting for them all season long to this point. So we'll see what happens. How was the rest of your Thanksgiving? Did you eat turkey?
Yeah, we had a lot of turkey, mashed potatoes. I mean, props goes out to my Uncle Greg. I mean, he cooked everything.
There you go.
He's a chef in our family, and man, we love him. Cooks all great food.
Nice. It was weird. We did fried egg rolls.
Fried egg rolls.
Yeah, we did some egg rolls, and I was on egg roll duty. We did that with shrimp fried rice. All homemade, which was something that I think that I'm going to do forever. Because turkey, to me, I guess I just haven't had like really good turkey. It's always too dry at the beginning, and then you get way too many leftovers, and then when you microwave it, that moisture that is left in there is gone, so it's just like eating, you know, like the driest of bird after that. And maybe I just haven't had a very good...
I don't think you've had a good one.
Yeah, I probably haven't, but, you know, going forward.
So going backwards, though, what do you mean you were on egg roll duty?
We were making them, homemade.
But you were on egg roll duty? So you're the one that was making them? You were the one that was providing it?
Yeah, there were a couple of us, yeah. Oh. I mean, they, you know, I wasn't Bill Parcells. I mean, they picked up the groceries. I just, you know, put the plays together a little bit. But we had some normal egg rolls. We had some Reuben, which I didn't think was going to work out, but it did. It was great. And then we had some pizza ones. And, you know, I got a history with pizza, so I started rolling those up, and they were good.
Are you normally the one who helps in the kitchen to prepare the food, or are you more normally the guy who kind of grabs a beer and hangs out, watches the games?
Both. I had a beer while I was doing this, watching the game from the kitchen while rolling egg rolls. And it's not...
Multitasking.
They're her family. It's her side of the family. Mine's from all over the country, so I just, you know, whatever they need me to do, I'm here to help.
You play your role.
The first thing I say is, hey, what can I help you guys with? And then it's like, boom, here's your job. All right.
Nice guy, Jackson.
I don't know.
You play your role. That's what you're supposed to do.
I didn't want to sit there and do absolutely nothing. That ain't the right thing to do. So, you know, we did that. And it was ultimately a good Thanksgiving. You know what would have made it better? If my fantasy teams played a little bit better.
I hear you, man.
And yours struggled too. But we've got some good news on the way because there are plenty of games for us to make up. And we're going to talk about all of the ways in which you can make it up if you had a pretty rough Thanksgiving in terms of fantasy football. So that's all coming up next. Quarterbacks, wide receivers, tight ends, the whole thing, including the kickers and defenses, and we'll make our game day picks. It's all coming up. He's Jordan Gothee. My name's Jackson. It's Football Sunday.
More Sports Fan Football Sunday next on Sports Fan Radio 1330. Now back to Sports Fan Football Sunday on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Back here on Sports Fan Radio 1330 Football Sunday on a weird week where we get to talk about fantasy players that are kind of chopped up. It's kind of like two Sundays in one after Thanksgiving, and we're just going to talk about the ones that are coming up a little bit later on this afternoon and into the evening. We got a couple of good primetime games that we'll catch, we'll start talking about as well. A couple of players that you and I have gone back and forth about, Jordan, for quite a while. Talking about the MVP race, as that's basically a quarterback award. Throughout time. I don't remember the last time.
Seems like it.
When was the last time a quarterback didn't win? Was it Adrian Peterson several years ago?
Well, you're putting me on the spot here. I don't know.
It's got to be Adrian Peterson. I mean, we could look it up over the break and talk about it, but it's been years. It's mostly a quarterback award. And this year, we've had a couple. We've had a couple in and out. We had one who we thought was going to be the prime candidate to possibly repeat, and he got injured, and Patrick Mahomes is still working his way back. He's still trying to get back into the flow totally within that offense and within the style that we're used to him playing. Still very capable of putting up MVP numbers by the end of the year, but you've got a couple other players here like Russell Wilson, who you and I have talked about. Lamar Jackson has really come on over the last several weeks, and he's got those Ravens playing better than I think anybody could have possibly imagined in their wildest fantasies here. So, Jordan, when we talk about the MVP right now, who do you have?
You know, we talked a couple weeks ago, and my guy was Russell Wilson. You know, I would like to see him win it. You know, he's guided his Seahawks to a 9-2 record. They've been impressive. Went toe-to-toe with the 49ers, went on the road, eventually getting that win in overtime at the very last second. So there's a big win there. He's had a couple of big wins along the road there. But I think right now, I mean, it has to be Lamar Jackson, though, right? I mean, the things he's doing, the way he is changing the game this year, I mean, there's not a single defense in the NFL that has been able to stop Lamar Jackson, and that includes the New England Patriots. So we thought a couple weeks ago, this might be one of the best defenses, at least on pace, one of the best defenses in history. And they've been unstoppable, but Lamar Jackson was able to score, what, almost 40 points on him and destroyed the Rams on Monday night. I mean, what an absolute embarrassment.
Yeah, just a dismantling of those Rams.
Oh, my gosh. It was crazy. I mean, he has to be the guy, right? You got to give it to him.
It's almost like you could put the fact that he has almost single-handedly killed the Sean McVay mystique with that game right there, because now McVay doesn't look like the smartest guy in the world anymore, right? And all of the branches on the Sean McVay tree, they don't look as good anymore. And now Lamar Jackson is almost like taking out the dragon by the head. It's insane.
I was watching the Monday night game very closely because I was intrigued. You know, I thought the Rams would show up after, you know, a tough game against the Bears and a tough loss of previous week against the Steelers. I thought maybe it was time for them to finally break out and show that offensive star power that they do have with Todd Gurley, Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, all these great receivers they have over there. But Jared Goff has just not been the same. That Rams offense struggled, and Lamar Jackson, I mean, it seemed like he was making every big play, they were running it down the Rams' throats, and even when he got tripped up, you could just tell Lamar was frustrated. Like, he had 5 touchdowns in the game, and to him and his mindset, it wasn't good enough. He's always looking just to be, I don't know, one step better. He's always looking to improve himself in every which way. After every single play, it's like he's either pounding the ground if he gets tripped up after an 8-yard gain. You know, it's like, man, I could have broke that. You know? Like, it's just, that's the mentality that Lamar Jackson has. He's hungry, you know, he's trying to prove to the league. He was the 5th quarterback taken in that first round a couple years ago over guys like Josh Rosen, who's been a bust so far. Different circumstances with him. Sam Darnold, who was seeing ghosts a couple weeks ago. I mean, Baker Mayfield has not looked the same in year 2 compared to year 1. I mean, he's taken after guys like those. And it's like he has a huge chip on his shoulder, and he's finally getting the opportunity to showcase. And it kind of reminds me of Patrick Mahomes a year ago, right? Kind of burst onto the scene year 2 in the league, really kind of found his footing. The league really hasn't caught up to him yet, and he's just showcasing his ability and how good this Baltimore Ravens offense is.
Yeah, last year around this time when he started to go on the winning streak with the Ravens to get them into the playoffs, it was about, okay, well, how far can this team go despite Lamar Jackson's deficiencies at the quarterback position? How far is this team going to be able to go in spite of Lamar Jackson being a rookie and just unaware and the game still moving fast for him? He transitioned from that into a guy who is, as you said, frustrated because he's not breaking off long gains on a defense that features Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, a rejuvenated Clay Matthews, and several other studs. Mm-hmm. It's insane what he was doing on Monday nights. And Lamar Jackson right now, you got to put him as the front runner for the MVP.
Is he your front runner? In your opinion? Because I've shared mine.
It's amazing to me how much opinions change. All it takes is a couple of weeks. We could be talking about somebody else 3 weeks from now.
Again, 3 weeks ago when we talked about this, Russell Wilson was my guy. Even though Lamar already beat him in a head-to-head matchup, I still thought Russell Wilson was doing enough to, I think, deserving the opportunity to win the MVP.
There was a time in week 5 or 6 when Aaron Rodgers' name was back up there. You know, it's just, it's amazing how it just shuffles. And it's just based on, because the NFL is such a week-to-week league. And all we do is just come up with these hot takes about things that are the way that they are right now. And you really have to take a step back and look at the macro over the course of an NFL season. And this is what I hate about sports radio, is because you've got to fill this time. You have to talk about these things that are happening right now. Mm-hmm. It's a long season. It is a long season. I can give you examples of things in baseball and maybe not basketball, because there's more consistency with the stars in the league out there. But I mean, no, Aaron Rodgers is even close to being an MVP, but at one point he was. You know, Pat Mahomes got hurt for a little while. And you know what? By the time it's all said and done, he might be back in the MVP race.
Yeah, you never know.
And people can forget that he missed 4 or 3 weeks or whatever.
Or it could be someone that doesn't play the quarterback position. We mentioned that. We teased that a little bit. Christian McCaffrey, who we thought in the very beginning of the year, we really kind of exploded onto the – or really – he had a great season last year, but really kind of carried over into this season.
Oh, took it to the next level.
He's a guy who definitely – should be considered, at least be one of the finalists. But a guy that we have not mentioned yet who should be as a receiver is Michael Thomas. He's on pace to break the NFL regular season record for most catches in a single season. He's on pace to beat Marvin Harrison's record back when he was with catching balls from Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
I mean, over 150 catches. He's on pace to beat that.
It's insane.
That is absolutely nuts.
Especially when they put, if you get, what, 80 passes in a year and you catch them.
Yeah.
That's a really good year. You're a wide receiver one. You are somebody who's going to be very highly regarded in fantasy if you catch 80 balls in a year.
Yeah, and think about it. You might look up the leaderboard. Michael Thomas almost doubled your catches. That's insane. And really, just the overall talent in that NFC South division as receivers. The top five receivers this year.
Who are they?
DJ Moore, Carolina. He's number five.
Okay.
Mike Evans, Tampa Bay. Chris Godwin, his partner in Tampa Bay.
Oh, I'm starting to see a trend.
Julio Jones, kind of been banged up this year, but he's still in the top five in receiving yards.
That's the other team.
And number one in
one
catches
more.
And receiving yards, Mr. Michael Thomas, who certainly should be an MVP conversation if he is not already in it.
No idea what's in the water down there, but those quarterbacks are getting to those stud wide receivers, and they're starting to put up some fantasy numbers. So next year, going into the draft, kids, what you need to do is draft someone from the NFC South to play the receiver position, because the ball is flying through the air down
Crazy.
There. In ways that it just isn't anywhere else outside of that conference in the NFL. Overall, so far, yes, I'd have to agree with you. Lamar Jackson's going to be my guy. Michael Thomas deserves votes. Christian McCaffrey deserves votes, although I don't know exactly what's going on with Carolina going forward. Mm-hmm. Tough loss for them last week against the Saints. But Lamar is just out of this world.
He's
right now.
He's on a different planet right now.
Most improved player by far, I would say, in the NFL. Going into this season?
Oh, hands down. He's got, yeah, absolutely. He could win most improved player and MVP in the same year.
Well, we've got a few teams. We've got a few teams and a few players that we're going to be talking about here on a football Sunday in terms of fantasy perspective. And the way that this works now, you're getting toward playoff time.
Or if you're in our league for some reason, you start the playoffs in week 12.
And, hey, it's 2 weeks per round.
I appreciate you, Jordan. I just wish that there was more of a heads up that, hey, you got five people on a bye in the first round of the playoffs, and I will go to my grave complaining about that situation right there, as I'm now losing to salesperson Brady, who I'm not even convinced that he puts his team back together on a week to week basis. Regardless, despite all of that, you are going toward the playoffs right now, or maybe you've already started in your league. There are players, nobody's on a bye anymore, but there are players that have played on Thursday. You might find yourself in a hole after Thursday with the six teams that played. So we're going to try to help you come back, or we're going to try to help you slam the door shut on the team who's trying to catch you going through the rest of the action here in week 13 of the NFL. Week 13.
It's crazy.
He's Jordan Gothy. He puts together an article that you can find and can help you with all of your fantasy questions. 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way down for every position that you're looking for. That's at sportsfanrockford.com and also on our social media. Jordan, when we are talking about quarterbacks, we don't have a ton of injuries this week, do we?
Only one, and that is Mr. Carson Wentz, who has not played well this year, let's be honest, as of fantasy numbers. But he does have a bruised hand, and that is on his throwing hand, too. So that's something to monitor going forward, even though I think he has a very nice matchup. And is probably one of my top guys this week, just based on the matchup. Because the Eagles, Jackson, I don't know if you know this, but they're playing the Dolphins. There's a good chance.
What's our rule for players?
You play every opposing player against the Dolphins. Baker Mayfield looked like an MVP last week against the Dolphins.
Got it. So they're playing the Dolphins. You're going to want to play them. Yeah. They'll score more than 9 points this week, you were hoping.
They should.
Just a question in hindsight right here. It sounds silly, but just the way that things have been going, looking at my fantasy roster last week and seeing -1 for Carson Wentz, who would you rather have right now if you're the Philadelphia Eagles, Nick Foles or Carson Wentz?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think, I mean, Carson.
If you could go back, would you do the same all over again? Hindsight 2020. Would you get rid of the guy that helped win you a Super Bowl or the guy that was supposed to bring you there?
We've seen the potential of Carson Wentz. Before he injured his knee the year of the Super Bowl run for the Eagles, before that, he looked like a legitimate MVP candidate, and he looked like he was probably going to go on and win that award before he got injured against the Rams. I think we saw the potential that Carson Wentz has, and I think he might have peaked that year, but I would still go with a younger arm because I still think that's somewhere in him. He needs to get better receivers. He has to. The receiving core in Philadelphia is horrendous right
now. Yeah, I mean, it's just two tight ends that are really making a lot of those plays. So are there any surprises, any players that are sneaky plays on your quarterback list this week?
The first guy I'm going to bring up is Sam Darnold. I love the matchup against Cincinnati. It's on the road. Cincinnati's ranked 28th against opposing quarterbacks in fantasy. But out of the last three games, Sam Darnold has 8 touchdowns, 1 rushing, 1 turnover. He's had 21 points, 25 points, and 27 points in his last three games against the Giants, Redskins, and Raiders. Now he plays the worst team of those four, the Cincinnati Bengals. I love that matchup. He's available in a lot of leagues out there. Also, Jared Goff. I get it.
What?
He's bad, right?
Okay, explain.
But now you're playing Arizona, okay? You need to – this is it. Like, this is it. If you lose this game, your season is over. We thought it was over on Monday night loss to Baltimore. You got to start winning right now to even have a chance – to make a quick comeback. You're playing Arizona ranked 32 of 32 in the league. Last place against opposing quarterbacks in fantasy. This is it, Jared Goff. This is your game to break out.
Yeah.
Has to happen this Sunday.
Well, we'll see what the game plan can do for him, and we'll see. I mean, to me, it seems like he's just rattled because we saw him bad when he first came into the league, and then we saw him pretty good, and then we saw him worth $100 million, and now we're
largest
seeing him pretty bad.
Largest contract in NFL history.
Crazy, isn't it? That's almost like Sam Bradford a couple of years ago. Well, maybe about 10 years ago playing
overpaid
for the Rams.
Overpaid.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, that thing started, and it got hot, and then all of a sudden it's dwindling down right now, so Jared Goff is going to try to stop that from happening. Any players you want to avoid?
The first guy, Jimmy G. I don't like the matchup against Baltimore. I mean, that team, not just the offense, the defense is playing lights out right now. One of the best secondaries in the league after acquiring Marcus Peters.
You got that right.
They're ranked fourth against opposing quarterbacks in fantasy. I get the 49ers are hot. They're scoring. They destroyed the Packers on Sunday night. I get it. Jimmy G's been really good, too. I don't trust him playing against one of the hottest defenses in the league right now, Baltimore. Also, Deshaun Watson. I think a lot of people are going to start him because it's Deshaun Watson. There's that potential there. But he has struggled as of late in terms of fantasy numbers. And now you play New England. It's at home. Sunday night matchup against the Patriots. They're ranked first against opposing quarterbacks in fantasy. Elite defense over there. I would be cautious with Deshaun Watson this weekend.
I'm going to throw Andy Dalton in there as somebody that you might want to, I don't know, just watch. Don't pick him up. Yeah. Don't play him or anything. Andy Dalton can go one of two ways from here on out. He could say, screw you, and play poorly against the Jets this week since they're just reinserting him in. Now that the Bengals are 0-11 and trying not to go winless throughout the season and be embarrassed. Or Andy Dalton could be like, you know what? I could play for the Bears next year and maybe make some money. And so like maybe he'll start to play a little bit better. We'll see. When it comes to running backs, how many injuries we got?
Just a few. We have both running backs in Kansas City, Damien Williams and LeSean McCoy. Not really sure exactly what their injuries are. All we know is that they're on the list, and they haven't really told everyone else exactly what the injuries is. LeSean McCoy apparently wasn't concussion protocol.
There was
a
concussion,
Andy Reid
yeah.
said he wasn't. So, I mean, I've heard mixed reports about that. Just something to monitor going forward. Matt Breida, ankle injury. James Conner, doubtful with a shoulder issue. Marlon Mack officially ruled out with a hand injury.
Unfortunate.
And Jordan Howard looks to be doubtful with a shoulder injury. We'll see what happens this week in practice.
All right. When you're looking for players who might succeed on weeks where you otherwise might not play them, who are some sneaky plays for you this week at the running back position?
The top guy for me is Miles Sanders, the guy who has filled in for Jordan Howard the last couple weeks since he's been banged up. Sure, he hasn't done anything yet, but now you're playing Miami, ranked 27th against opposing quarterbacks in fantasy. At least there should be a chance for Miles Sanders to break out. Hopefully it is this week. Kenyon Drake. Not sure what exactly is going on with our running back situation in Arizona. We know David Johnson just does not fit this offense. I said this a couple weeks ago.
It's weird.
And it came to fruition when they played Tampa Bay, one of the best in terms of run defense against opposing running backs. Didn't get a single snap the entire game. Kenyon Drake just fits this offense much better than David Johnson does. So I like him going forward against the Rams this weekend. And Kareem Hunt, kind of a little surprise guy going up against Pittsburgh, ranked fifth. It's a tough matchup, but Kareem Hunt brings so much more to your team in terms of catching the ball, the backfield, in terms of fantasy numbers. I like Kareem Hunt this week as a flex option.
Players to avoid, I'm looking at that Monday night matchup. I don't like Dalvin Cook. I don't like Chris Carson in that matchup going against both of those teams because I think it's going to be a defensive battle. I think there's going to be a lot of touches given to both of those guys, but I just don't see either defense budging. It's going to be a great game tomorrow night. What about you?
To me, I think LeSean McCoy going up against Oakland, ranked 20th against opposing running backs. It's a fair matchup. I can't trust a guy like LeSean McCoy. I just can't, especially in this offense. Not sure what's going on at the backfield. Both running backs are banged up. So if McCoy is in concussion protocol, there's a chance he might not play. I don't like it. Don't like the matchup.
Before we get to kickers, wide receivers, and players that make our picks for this week, I just want to touch on tight ends real quick. We do have about maybe 2 minutes to talk about them. Any injuries or anybody that is of a concern?
Yeah, let's do a couple of rapid fire here. Evan Engram, foot issue. He's missed the last couple of weeks. We'll see if he returns this Sunday. Jacob Hollister, the tight end for the Seattle Seahawks. Man, they just can't catch a break at that position.
Dude, everybody goes
foot
down.
Injury, I know.
Everybody goes down there.
Gerald Everett got banged up late in this Monday night game against the Ravens, dealing with the knee injury, the tight end for the Rams. David Njoku is expected to return from the injury reserve list after dealing with a wrist injury the last couple of weeks. He looks to return this Sunday. Delanie Walker, who missed last week's match the last couple of weeks with an ankle issue, we'll see if he returns to the lineup. And TJ Hockenson.
That guy has more foot injuries throughout his career than anybody I've ever heard of. It's insane.
But when he's healthy, he's one of the best tight ends in the league.
You're right.
And finally, TJ Hockenson, shoulder issue.
Wow. It's a lot for the tight end.
It is a lot for tight ends this year.
So Seattle's going to be starting tight end Seahawks or whatever, the way that they used to call them in Tecmo Super Bowl when players wouldn't give the rights away when they weren't signed. He's going to be tight end Seahawks. Who do you have as a sneaky play this week?
Gerald Everett, if he is healthy, because it is a great matchup, be playing Arizona, who is ranked 32nd against opposing quarterbacks and 32nd versus opposing tight ends of fantasy. I love that matchup, love that opportunity. If Jared Goff can finally get out of his head and throw the ball down the field.
You've got all of the rankings available at sportsfanrockford.com, a blog that you put together every single week. And if you have any questions on the tight end position, you could either reference that or go on to Twitter at sportsfan1330. We've got wide receivers coming up, kickers, and our pick six for this week on
a
football
Sunday.
It is pretty good, considering there were three games on Thanksgiving.
It's a good slate of games on Sunday.
I think you're right. When we both talked about this prior to the show, I said, I don't know about this. And you said, no, look at this one and this one and this one. And I'm looking forward to bringing that up. Do you have a kicker with a story?
Not this week. I'm going to find one that I haven't used yet.
Well, that's a hell of a sale.
Yeah. I got someone I haven't used yet this year. I mean, if that intrigues you at all.
All right. So you've got Cody Parkey or Eddie Pinheiro coming up for your kicker with feelings. We'll talk about all of that up next. He's Jordan Gothee. I'm Jackson on a football Sunday.
More Sports Fan Football Sunday next on Sports Fan Radio 1330. It's Sports Fan Football Sunday on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Rock! Jordan Jackson catching up on a football Sunday with plenty of games on the docket. No Bears. It's weird with those Thursday games. No Bears on the docket today. We've got plenty more that we're talking about with fantasy football implications, trying to get you a victory either leading up to the playoffs for better seeding, or you're in the playoffs right now and you got to win that damn week. That's what we're here for at SportsFan1330 on the tweet machine. If you have any questions leading up to the noon kickoff, we are there and helping you answer. And by we, I mean Jordan, because he is on his game when it comes to that stuff. So we do appreciate that. Hey, Jordan, what kind of injuries are we looking at from the wide receiver position today?
We have a few. Tyreek Hill, the receiver for the Chiefs, has been dealing with a hamstring injury. He's expected to play, but we'll see. Just monitor that going forward. Adam Thielen, a hamstring injury. We'll see what happens on Monday night against the Seahawks. T.Y. Hilton apparently had calf tightness. He's been dealing with that calf injury for quite a while now. We'll see what happens against the Titans. Alshon Jeffrey, ankle injury. Juju Smith-Schuster, who missed last week's contest with a concussion and a knee injury. We'll see what happens this week. Same with Golden Tate, who is in concussion protocol. And Mohamed Sanu dealing with the ankle injury. We'll see what happens against the Texans on Sunday night.
Lots of injuries at the receiver position. Be monitoring that as the kickoffs are coming up here. You're going to want to check Field Yates or Adam Schefter likes to tweet those out. So we'll try to do that as the time passes here right before kickoff, just so you have all of the current information. Jackson and Jordan here diving into the receivers. Any sneaky plays coming from that group?
Oh, I got a bunch. The first guy, DJ Tark, a perfect matchup going up against Tampa Bay, ranked 32nd against opposing wide receivers in fantasy. I know they had a good game against Atlanta. Julio Jones left that game. Matt Ryan was clearly just not in his A game, and Tampa Bay really played well. They're still the 32nd ranked secondary against opposing wide receivers in fantasy. I love DJ Chark this week. Hopefully, Nick Foles can find that connection. Devontae Parker is a guy I really wanted to highlight. Going up against Philadelphia, ranked 24th against opposing wide receivers in fantasy so far this season. And Jackson, you always know a rule when playing the Miami Dolphins.
You play everybody who's got a chance at scoring you some points.
Exactly. And I think Devontae Parker, who's actually been on a tear as of late, in the last couple of games, Devontae Parker has been one of the better receivers in fantasy. In fact, since week four, Jackson, Devontae Parker, who we thought was a bust, has never gotten below 11 points in fantasy.
That's pretty good.
Not bad. Four touchdowns along this in that same span. I mean, he's been on fire. Now you get Philadelphia, you got the Jets and the Giants and Bengals all coming up. He's a guy who might be available in your league. Make sure you go out there and pick it up. He's a great matchup today against Philadelphia. And I like Jarvis Landry, another guy who's been red hot as of late.
You said him last week as well, and he ended up getting a touchdown or two.
Touchdowns, yeah. And it's a tough matchup against Pittsburgh, ranked 13th because opposing wide receivers in fantasy. That is a very good secondary. But Jarvis Landry and Baker Mayfield are finding that connection that they had last season, and it's just working out really well for both sides. And I would continue to roll with the hot hand there.
So why would you say Jarvis Landry and not Odell Beckham Jr., out of curiosity?
Usually when you have both of those guys on the field at the same time, Odell kind of gathers more of the attention, you know, to the secondary, and I think he's a better receiver overall, but Jarvis Landry is kind of, he becomes that forgotten, that number two guy, and that's the way he is. He's the number two receiver in this offense. Odell's number one, and Jarvis is just getting more opportunities right now as the Browns' schedule is kind of lightened up a little bit. Again, tough matchup this week against Pittsburgh, but going forward, it's another nice matchup for both Odell and Jarvis. Going forward, another guy real quick, Terry McLaurin. Another guy I like going up against Carolina, ranked 28th against opposing wide receivers in fantasy. He also has his former college quarterback, Dwayne Haskins, throwing him the ball in D.C.
And he got about 12 points last week, not scoring a touchdown, but he did get some attention his way, and Dwayne Haskins is starting to get a little bit more comfortable under center playing for the Washington Redskins. At least recently, it looks like he's at least throwing the ball a little bit more downfield in recent weeks, and that was his problem coming up. So Terry McLaurin, I do like that.
Now he's got to make sure Dwayne Haskins is on the field for the entire game.
That is also
true. Instead of going and taking selfies with fans.
I also like receivers in the Raiders and Chiefs matchup too. Any players to avoid?
The first guy, I know you're a big fan of him, Will Fuller.
Yeah.
He had 11 targets last week, 7 catches, about 140 yards against Indianapolis on Thursday night.
You know what that average is? 20 yards per catch, Jordan.
I couldn't do the math.
Incredible. Incredible.
I will say, though, it's a tough matchup. You're playing New England.
Give me a team with Marlon Mack and Will Fuller. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, Stephon Gilmore is going to be guarding DeAndre Hopkins for most of the game. But still, Will Fuller, the Patriots don't allow a lot of big plays. They're not going to allow a lot of receivers, even Will Fuller, how fast he is, to get by them pretty easily. So I think Will Fuller will be stopped against New England on Sunday night. Also, Emmanuel Sanders has been banged up as of late, had a nice game against Green Bay. Now you play Baltimore against a tough secondary. It's a red-hot defense overall. I don't trust Jimmy G, therefore I don't trust the receiving group going into this matchup. I would also look elsewhere outside of Emmanuel Sanders.
Please, man, don't say too much bad about Jimmy G. His grandmother is watching, and he just would like to say hello.
Is she really watching?
Yeah, after the game he said that, and after a bad Packers loss, I'm like, come on, man, come on. Anyway, when it comes to defense, we've got a few teams that we're looking at here. Personally, for me, if you're just looking for a streaming defense, I kind of like this Broncos defense going up against the Chargers. They're hosting them in Mile High. The reason being, Phillip Rivers just isn't himself this year. And the Chargers do put up enough points to lose within a possession just about every game. And in those last possessions, Phillip Rivers, out of like 7 tries, he's thrown 4 picks in those attempted game-winning or game-tying drives. So you can get some turnover points if you're the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, Phillip Rivers does not look like himself this season. I'm going to go on the other side of that matchup. I'm actually going with the Chargers defense. I know you're a fan of the Allen brothers, with the Allen quarterbacks in the league. There's like 3 or 4 of them right now.
I'm a fan of all Allens.
But I think the Chargers will be a nice matchup. I think Derwin James is expected to be back this Sunday.
Except Jared
going
Allen.
On the road. Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram, they're going to put pressure on the rookie quarterback. I think they're going to get to Brandon Allen. And, of course, this will shock you. My number one defense this week, the Eagles playing the Miami Dolphins. Enough said.
Okay. When we go to the kickers, they've got emotions too. There's no real bye weeks, so we just want to give you a random kicker that's going to do well. Yeah. No stories, no nothing.
A little under the radar.
Hey, I'm thinking about a kicker this week. I'm going to go with Nick Folk. I understand he missed a couple of kicks last week, but I'm talking volume because I'm not worried so much about the accuracy, you making the most out of the attempts that you have. I want someone that's going to have as many attempts as possible. And I think the Patriots are a little bit better than that mud bath they played against the Cowboys last week. They're going to put up more than 13 points against the Houston Texans. Nick Folk is going to have a chance to hit it from long range, hit it from short range, and a bunch of extra points as well. So give me that guy. Who do you have?
I like Jake Elliott. Surprise, surprise. I picked a lot of Eagles today. It's kind of been the theme of the show.
You're waiting for them to
break out.
While
they're playing the Miami Dolphins. Well, he hasn't missed a field goal yet this season. Okay. So, I mean, that's
big.
But the problem is there hasn't been much volume. He's only kicked about 17 or 18 attempts so far, which isn't a lot compared to a lot of other kickers in the league.
Right.
But I'm expecting volume for today's matchup against the Dolphins. I think the Eagles are good enough. They're going to drive down the field. I like the matchup. Give me Jake Elliott.
The pick six is something we do on a weekly basis where we go around the league and give you some of the best matchups. And with all the ones that were happening on Thanksgiving, we are going to miss the Bears one against the Giants. So we're going to move forward and talk about today's action as well as the game coming up tomorrow. So we start with a riveting game between the Packers, who are trying to rebound from looking embarrassed on Sunday night. They travel from the West Coast to the East Coast to take on the New York Giants. Jordan, who do you have?
You know, it does make me nervous traveling all the way from the West Coast to the East Coast in back-to-back games. But I still got to go with the Pack, right? I mean, go Pack, go. I can't believe those words just came out of my mouth.
Yeah, that was
weird.
Give
me A-Rod. I ain't picking the Giants.
I didn't pick the Packers for like the fourth time last week, and for the first time they actually lost when I did it. So I'm just, you know, I assume that luck has run out. I'm taking the Packers going away in this one. Titans at Colts. Jordan, who do you have in Indianapolis?
This is a nice AFC South divisional matchup. I mean, both teams are fighting for that final wild card spot. The Texans are right now in front of that division. Give me the Colts at home.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. The Titans bore me. They still bore me.
They're a boring team. Even though they scored a lot against Jacksonville last week. But
they did. I mean, they're capable of breaking out, but just there's no flash to them, you know? And so it's like I find myself just by default rooting against them, and maybe that has something to do with it. I also think the Colts are a much better team, so I'm going to take Indianapolis at home. No surprises on that one. We're going to save the 49ers at Ravens until the end. That's the biggest game of the week. So let's talk Raiders at Chiefs.
I don't see the Chiefs losing four home games, especially one to the Raiders, especially coming off a bye week. Give me Pat Mahomes and company.
Andy Reid off of a bye week. Well, at least when he was with the Eagles, he was phenomenal. And I assume still with the Chiefs, he's pretty damn good as well. I'm going to take those Chiefs, Pat Mahomes and company, just trying to keep the Raiders from atop the division along with them. It's amazing. We're talking about the Oakland Raiders potentially getting into first place.
Yeah.
Right?
Even though, well, if they play like they played last Sunday against the Jets, they have no shot.
Give me the Chiefs. Let's go Patriots at Texans.
You know, originally I picked the Patriots, but I'm going to switch it to the Texans because the Patriots are 10-1. They're due for a loss, though. Give me the Texans at home.
Giving you the Texans at home. Okay, how are they going to do that?
I think Tom Brady, this offense just has not looked impressive so far this season. The defense has played well. That keeps him in games. But Tom Brady just doesn't look like his normal self. I mean, maybe it's not playoff time yet. I mean, it's different. They got 10 wins already. They haven't played anyone yet. So, but give me the Texans at home.
I'm not a believer in Houston. I don't think that Deshaun Watson's going to all of a sudden break out against the best defense in the league. I also don't think that DeAndre Hopkins or Will Fuller are going to be capable of having good games just based on the types of defense that they're going up against. It's going to be a tough matchup for the Texans. Now, they could prove me wrong, and I think it would speak a lot higher about them than it would bad for the Patriots, because when you write down the talent on paper, it's a lot closer than I think the score is going to turn out to be. Mm. Give me Bill Belichick on the road. The Patriots taking out the Texans. A game that should have been flexed. Let's just do this one now since it's on Sunday. they should have flexed this game. It should have been a 3:15 start so they could have made it a night game. The entire country deserves to see this matchup between Lamar Jackson and the San Francisco 49ers, the two best teams in the NFL, right? Well, aside from the Patriots, maybe. But you could argue the two best teams in the NFL right now in a noon game.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. I mean, it's all eyes are going to be on this matchup. Arguably two of the hottest defenses right now in the NFL, and then you include Lamar Jackson, you include that 49ers offense that is rolling with the pieces that they have. Kyle Shanahan's a very underrated coach, but I think it's going to be a closer game. I think it's going to be a defensive battle, believe it or not, even with Lamar Jackson on the field, giving the Baltimore with a field goal.
I think that we're both taking almost the same teams in a lot of these games, and I'm going to agree with you with the Baltimore Ravens. Here's the deal. The San Francisco 49ers defense came out playing on fire last week. When it came to preparation and game time, this wasn't something that the Niners came up with in about 7 days. Matt LaFleur goes way back with Kyle Shanahan. He also goes way back with his brother. The San Francisco 49ers know Matt LaFleur and his tendencies, and so therefore they were able to come up with something that was going to beat a less talented Green Bay Packers team. Mm-hmm. I think that the 49ers are not as good as they played on Sunday night. I still think they're a damn good team, but the Ravens are just on another level right now. Give me Baltimore at home. I look forward to seeing that game one way or another. That leads us to our final game tomorrow night, and this has potential to be a classic as well. The Minnesota Vikings needing a victory here, going on the road to take on MVP candidate Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks. Jordan, who you got?
So this burned me last week when I picked a team who had 2 weeks to prepare for this matchup. I thought they would come in and win. That was the Packers last week. They got destroyed by the Niners, we just mentioned. I originally picked the Vikings. They had a week off. They had a bye week last week, so you get 2 weeks to prepare against the Seattle team. Got to watch the Philadelphia game. Fresh game plan against the Eagles, who did a good job defensively against them. I'm still taking the Seahawks and the 12th man at home. It's a tough place to go in, especially in a night game, to go into Seattle and come away with a victory. I like Seattle in a very, very close game.
I feel like if this was a 1 o'clock Eastern time game, I feel like the Vikings would have a better shot. But I'm with you on the under the lights and Monday night. And
in that atmosphere, it's tough.
In that atmosphere, I agree with you. I just feel like the Seahawks already lost their really bad game at home this year when Teddy Bridgewater went in there and surprised them. I think they lost a second time, too, right at home?
Yes.
I would be shocked if they lose three times at home in a calendar season. They're still good, man. They are still one of the better teams in the NFC. Give me the Seahawks. Although I do think that the loser of this game should have rights to Blair Walsh for the rest of eternity.
Man, I completely forgot about that guy.
We'll be back to talk with you next Sunday on a Football Sunday at SportsFan1330. We've got your fantasy questions asked and answered, as you can hit us up anytime before kickoff begins. And if you have any questions whatsoever, Jordan Gothy, our fantasy football expert, whether he wants to admit it or not, put together a blog that has your rankings so you can just take a look at everything that he's thinking this week. And the man is accurate. The man is accurate. I'm knocking on wood for you this week, buddy. All right. He's Jordan Gothy. My name's Jackson. We'll catch you next week. Enjoy your football Sunday.